that you know and love. If you're a Days of Our Lives fan, well, you know Austin Reed as well as everybody does, the NBC's longtime acclaimed soap opera. And he's back again, if you missed him when he left earlier. And, of course, he's also been known for Starship Troopers and Melrose Place and some of the other great shows that he's done, and as well as a lead singer of the rock band called The Sleeping Masses. We're going to talk about that as well. And we'll say hello now to Patrick Muldoon. How are you, Patrick?
Mark, how are you?
Excellent, thanks. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man. Routing on L.A. time, so I woke up just for you, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope you got a little bit of sleep.
I got a little bit of sleep, but yeah, I'm well, happy now, so I'm ready to roll.
Okay. Well, one of the things I got to tell you right up front is that I was a huge Melrose Place fan. I loved the show. I watched every episode, and your character was not a nice guy, Richard Hart.
He was not a nice guy. He was such a not a nice guy that I get buried alive. Yeah, I did get buried alive. I got hit in the head with the shovel by Josie Bassett and buried alive and came back from the dead. And that's the kind of stuff that we loved about Melrose, you know?
Yeah, well, he also, I remember he owned the company, I think it was called Mackenzie Hart, and they had an explosion there. And I remember the Courtney Thorne's, her character was temporarily blinded in the explosion.
Yeah, all I remember about that was, I think that was my first day of work on Melrose Place, and it was quite a big explosion, and there was rubber everywhere. That's kind of what they shot all over the place, so it was like stuck in everybody's head, all over everybody's clothes. But yeah, Melrose Place was a blast. I'm still good friends with Daphne Zuniga, who played Joe, my love interest, who's on, One Tree Hill now.
Right.
And, you know, Melrose, I guess they... It was such a weird thing because it was like a soap opera on steroids. They tried to bring it back, a couple of years ago, but it wasn't as crazy as we did it in the 90s. So, Melrose Place is, I guess there'll never be another show like that one. I hope there is, though.
I've had pretty much the entire cast on the show from Melrose Place because I was a big fan of the show. But I got to tell you that I thought out of all the characters on that show, that the one who was... you know, just an incredible actress that made it believable was Marsha Cross.
She was. I mean, she was. Everybody went, you know, every character got a tour of being nice and romantic, and then pretty much every character became crazy. But when Marsha went crazy, the ratings went up, and you really had to look out.
Yeah.
For sure. She was that.
When the scene came that she took that wig off and showed the scar, it was one of the most frightening moments I've ever watched on television.
Yeah, Marsha's got a good crazy on her for sure.
Yeah, even with Desperate Housewives, she's continued that role.
Yeah, absolutely. Desperate Housewives was kind of like the next kind of Melrose Place vibe.
Yeah.
That's gone too now, isn't it, Mark?
It is. Yeah, they just had the finale. You know, it's interesting, you mentioned the way they brought Melrose Place back. I thought it was terrible, the new show. And they did the same thing with 90210, and I didn't really like that one too much either.
Yeah, it was just, you know, Aaron Spelling, just, he really, his television empire was at kind of a tight there, but... It was, I know that Melrose Place was kind of more of a melodrama for the first couple of years. It was actually getting canceled. And then they said, why don't we try, they brought in Heather Locklear, you know, and they said, why don't we turn this up and make it kind of a super soap opera, which, people still remember it. So it was great to be a part of.
Now, talking about being a part of, you were a star of a show called Star Troopers, playing Xander Barkalow. With Denise Richards and Neil Patrick Harris. And that show's coming up with a magical anniversary soon, right?
We just had, 15 years since Starship Troopers. We just kind of had a premiere with Casper Van Dien and Jake Busey and I. We're all together down here at the Arclight Theater, you know, with hundreds of fans watching the show. And it was the first time I had seen the movie since the premiere. And I remember, it's got to be one of the most violent movies of all time, but it's also kind of a special movie in you know, almost like that over-the-top Melrose Place tone, only in space. Because every time somebody gets their head lopped off or killed, the audience erupts in laughter. So I don't know why that movie over the past 15 years has gotten more popular, but it has. It actually, I don't think it actually made money, you know, the first when it was originally released. So it's caught on as kind of a cult classic over the years.
Yeah, I was going to say it's become like a cult classic. Exactly. It's interesting how those things happen. It's kind of like the viral videos. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
But, now there are rumors around that you are dating Denise Richards. Are those true?
Well, we used to date back in the day, but a lot of people don't know that Denise and I have known each other. I'm 2 years older than her, so I met her in an acting class when she was 19 years old, and I was 21 years old. And so even before we were boyfriend and girlfriend, we had known each other for, you know, something like 10 years. And we did Starship Troopers, and we're a couple for a while, but, you know, we're just, Denise and I, these days, we're just good friends and just hang out as friends. It's our, I think, like, last week. So, yeah, so we've known each other forever.
Well, I'm a big Howard Stern show fan, and Denise is, when she's on that show, she's an amazing guest.
Well, Denise has got a lot going on in her life, for sure.
Yeah, she's a fascinating character, so she must be good to have as a friend, I'll tell you.
She must be what?
Good to have as a friend.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah. So, let me ask you a question. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Pedro, California, which is essentially the L.A. Harbor. You know, people know the L.A. Harbor and Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's about 30 miles outside of Los Angeles.
So how did you end up in showbiz, and did you go for music or did you go for acting when you first started out?
I went to USC, and I was on the football team at USC, and, you know, I was one of those guys, you know, a lot of people come from like a kind of small harbor town. There's no acting schools in San Pedro, put it that way. So, you know, I really didn't think it was a possibility until I got to USC. I was 18. And even though San Pedro is only 30 miles outside of Hollywood, it couldn't be, you know, there's nothing similar between the two places. And I was getting run over so much by a guy named Junior Seau, who he forced me to find acting at 18. And we got some bad news about Junior a couple of weeks ago.
Very, very sad, because, you know, again, this show's taped in Boston, and we were big fans of his when he paid for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where he finished his career.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Junior was such a stand-up guy, obviously a fierce competitor, and but full of character. So, you know, we were actually supposed to see him a couple of weeks before we got the bad news. And something happened. We didn't connect. But he's the last guy in the world, you know, you would think, something like that would do something like that. So a lot of us kind of write it off to 20 years in the NFL and that much pressure on the brain with that, you know, the collisions in the NFL are severe. So we kind of think it must have been something like that having to do with the collisions from the NFL.
Well, he obviously believed it too, because he left his brain clear so that they could study it. So
yeah. And some other people on our football team have had kind of the same, not suicide, but kind of, you know, some severe episodes and mood swings and stuff like that. So hopefully the NFL will get on it and check out what's up with the helmets. It's a tough call, though, because, you know, obviously football is not about anything but hitting. I mean, it's take hitting out of the game. It's not a game, but at the same time, people are suffering out there, so they got to do something.
Now, you play tight end, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you probably have a few concussions in your life as well.
Yeah, I've had my fair share, for sure.
Yeah, I had a son who played football for 16 years as a quarterback, and I saw him hit the turf numerous times, and we didn't know where he was coming from. So.
Yeah. That is the sport, though, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the toss-up between, I mean, you can't take getting out of the game, so I don't know what they're going to do, but it's, Junior is that's a tragic loss.
Absolutely. So you got out of USC. What was your first opportunity in a paid position in the biz?
It was Who's the Boss with Tony Danza.
Oh.
And that was actually while I was still in USC. And then after that, I got a job that I'm still hated for, and that's Saved by the Bell. So I'm the guy that broke up Kelly and Zach, Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Mark Ball, I walk down the street and people still yell at me for doing that.
And you were absolutely correct, because when we posted, we were interviewing you, we got some hate posts on our wall saying exactly that.
It's amazing. Hey, on Twitter, I still get, you know, at least a handful of people a week still angry with me for that. But, you know, because there's so many people mad at me, you know, I'm very proud of it. And if you were in my position, you would have done the same thing, because Tiffany Amber Thiessen is hot.
Now, do you ever talk to any of the folks from that show? Do you ever talk to her at all?
No. I kind of, the other shows I've been in touch with, you know, there's still kind of in my circle of friends. But, yeah, Mario and I used to live back in the 90s. We used to live in a apartment complex out here in the valley, and in this apartment complex, if you talk about Melrose Place, it was Mario, myself, who else, Ryan Seacrest was in there, and oh my god, who's the girl from American Pie?
I don't remember her name, but I know you're talking about
Tara Reid.
Yeah,
was in there.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of actors. We all started off in kind of the same apartment complex. It was like a real Melrose Place, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Now, so you went from that. Now, when did you actually join Days of Our Lives?
Pretty much close to right after I did Saved by the Bell. It was about 1992.
So you were pretty much a kid at that point.
Yeah, I was a kid. I was 23.
Yeah. And you were on for a long time. Then you were off the show. What exactly happened to your character that you left the show, or were you doing something else?
It was, you know, the soap contracts back then were 3 years, so I kind of got to the end of the 3 years, and, you know, I just decided, I was 25 years old, and when you're 25, you just, you know, decide to roll the dice, and, you know, and then luckily I went right into Melrose Place, but I think my character walked into the bathroom and came out as somebody else. The role got recast.
Oh wow! So now were you angry when they did that, or because it?
No. I knew that was happening. It was up to the point of just when they were going to find the other guy. As soon as they found him, I was out.
So when the role of Austin Reed, who was the aspiring boxer at the first time, when you brought Austin Reed back. Did they go back in the bathroom and have you come out?
No, I didn't. I didn't enter from the bathroom door. I thought I was going to, but but it was weird. It was, you know, I left a boxer and a musician, and those are two things that I actually do in my life. A lot of times, they'll write soap characters to you, and you know, and I've been a musician, and I've, you know, screwed around in boxing my whole life. But this time I came back as an accountant. I don't know why they chose for me to come back as an accountant. I don't know boxers and musicians who become accountants. This time back, I came back as an accountant.
Okay. Now, were any of the people that you had acted with originally still there? And obviously, if they were much older.
They're much older, but they shouldn't look much older. It was like walking back into high school, because it was the same faces. Same guys, Mike and John are the cameraman, Fran Bellini's the stage manager, you know, it was, the walls had, where Zach was the same color, it was like walking back into, a time machine, you know?
Hmm.
But it was, you know, it's the only gig in the acting world that's like that. I mean, you don't go, maybe you could do a sequel to a movie, but it's not really the same. So, you know, everybody says, oh, it's like one big happy family or whatever, but it really is, you know, and was it's like a big family reunion, and that's what it's been like.
So it was, what, about 17 years before you had gone back?
16,
wow.
Yeah.
It is like a time warp, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Now, you mentioned music, and you're the lead singer of a band called The Sleeping Masses. I understand that you joined the Country Music Association?
Yeah, I'm doing a solo record. In my spare time, I'm going over to Nashville, and I'm doing a solo record. And, you know, I mean, I'm a rocker at heart, so I'm not putting on a 10-gallon hat and just doing country music, but I am doing kind of a solo record that is a bit of a southern rock vibe, kind of like a, you know, I want to do like a retro thing, like the Allman Brothers, you know, even a bit of like Creedence Clearwater flavor, so there's kind of like something from the south, you know, southern rock.
I like that.
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is universally loved, so, and missed, so.
Yeah.
Good idea.
It's you know, that's my flavor. It's always been my flavor. I love Southern Rock.
So now, folks out there that may think they've never heard The Sleeping Masses might actually have, because if you saw the movie Powder Blue, which starred Jessica Biel, the music video went away. Wasn't that one of the Powder Giants?
Yeah, the part of the internet to YouTube and put in The Sleeping Masses. I didn't first think of it. But the cool part of the market is when you're in a band, you want a girl, especially your first video, you want a girl in your video to be hot. And so we got Jessica Biel for our first video. So that was, we were excited about that.
Yeah, the only problem is when you get Jessica Biel in your first video, it's hard to top that.
Yeah, I don't know where we go from here. You know, maybe I'll act in East for the next one.
There you go. Now, yeah, The Sleeping Masses, you're the lead singer, I know that. Do you do the writing for the songs as well?
Yeah. So the writing is done by myself and my buddy named Neil Ives. He's out of London. So, you know, I'm a California boy, and he's out of London. And so it's a, you know, kind of strange mix of both vibes. But, so, you know, a lot of our songs have been in film and TV. And, you know, we're going to do a new Sleeping Masses record, but we have two out, and you can check those out on iTunes or check us out. We post a lot of stuff up about the band on YouTube. And we also have a Twitter account, which is at Sleeping Masses.
Okay, so folks can go on there. I was actually looking to see if you actually had your own website, and I couldn't find any.
It's because it's being revamped. So it'll be up this month.
What is the address for it?
It will be patrickmuldoon.com.
Okay, because I went over there with nothing on that. So
yeah, the sleepingmasses.com is up, but it's just kind of up there and posting videos and stuff like that. But patrickmuldoon.com will be up this month, and you can also stay in touch with me. The Twitter address is at Muldoon Patrick.
Muldoon Patrick.
Like a car salesman over there, Mark.
Well, I'm a media man 2011, so, or 2009, one of the 2009, media man 2009 on Twitter.
Media man 2009.
Yep.
All right.
So, folks, if you want to check out Patrick Muldoon's work, you can go to Days of Our Lives on NBC. And do you know what time that airs?
Out here, it airs on NBC at 1 o'clock. I don't know what it is on the East Coast. Oh, but I'm coming to Boston. I'm coming to Boston for Days of My Life on September 8th. So people in the Boston area, look for that event. That'll be cool. A couple of cast members are coming out with me.
Cool. They should notify PMP Network. We'll push it for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure we will. That's September the 8th. We're doing that.
And maybe all the people who loved that wonderful couple on Saved by the Bell will come down and attack you.
Yeah, that'll be tough. And for gay fans out there, we got some big news, Mark, this week. If you're fans of Austin and Carrie, this week we find out that Carrie She's pregnant. So everybody check out Days of Our Lives this week. It's going to be a good week.
But the question is, did Austin get her pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it's a soap opera. You never know, you know.
Yeah, I know. It better be mine.
You might have to leave the show again.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah. I know.
So now, is Days of Our Lives, like, it's going to be on in perpetuity, or is it? Have they announced anything? Like, I noticed a lot of the soap operas have gone onto, like, the web and other things.
Yeah, Days has been on 47 years. I hope it stays on in perpetuity. You know, you want to see a show like that stay on the air. And, you know, these days, soap operas are up against reality shows. Reality shows, the daytime reality shows, you know, you pay a doctor to go up there and talk about, you know, I don't know, nutrition or herpes or something like that. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's cheap to keep them on the air, and soap operas are expensive. So Days has had to figure out a way to kind of keep it cost effective. And, you know, they get re-upped every couple of years.
Yeah.
And they have been doing that. And hopefully they'll continue to do that.
Any plans to have you or your band sing on that show, or connect it somehow that way?
There's been talk in the past of that. But right now, like I say, the music thing is doing Sleeping Mass's record and going down to Nashville and working on the Southern Rock thing.
Hmm. Well, I got to tell you,
writing a lot. So, yeah, it's always tough to write when you're not in a relationship, or, you know, I'm single right now, so I'm not breaking up with anybody, and I'm not in, you know, don't have a girlfriend at the moment, so it's just about writing tons of words. So maybe I'm going to have to go out there and get a girlfriend and then break up with her so that I could write some music.
It's funny, actually, you know, it's interesting you say that, because folks out there like that do write, and I'm one of them, because I write poetry. I never write unless I'm emotionally distraught.
Yeah, I mean, writing always comes from need. You know, I think writers write because they have to. Don't you think?
I do, unless they're... Well, I write newspaper columns every day, and sometimes I have to force them out. But, I mean, that you got to do that when you're a columnist. But in terms of the creative stuff, like music and poetry, it's got to come from somewhere else, and you can't kind of force it.
No. But, you know, I always think to myself that when you sit down and you have to write, nothing's going on, that you always feel something. You know, there's never a moment where you don't feel, you are feeling something in every moment of your life. So, and you just got to start with that, I guess.
Well, I guess, yeah.
If that doesn't work, you have to drink a bottle of wine, Mark.
There you go. Or smoke some kind of substance. But that's another story for another day.
Exactly.
Patrick Muldoon, thank you so much for coming on. And folks, you can go to patrickmuldoon.com at some point soon, or thesleepingmasses.com. And you can also follow Patrick at Muldoon Patrick, at Muldoon Patrick, of course, on Twitter. So
right.
It was a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we can communicate on Twitter at some point in the future too.
I'm gonna send a request to you right now. So Mark, thank you so much for everything.
All right, take care.
Bye
bye.
Take care.